rescue begin. Come find your mercy, sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame, and all who are broken, lift up your face. Lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. There's hope for the hopeless and all those who strayed. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures. And earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame, and all who are your face. Oh, wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are, come as you are. Joy for the morning, sinner, be still. And earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. And earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your
this, because I think I like to move around. I'm not very good at standing still. I might get away without using these, actually, if I've done the type big enough. just thought I'd start by giving you a little bit of history about who I am. It was a bit weird to start sit and listen to somebody and you just think, well, who are they? Where have they come from? So I'm Michelle, and I'm 49, and I was brought up in Newcastle. And 3 years ago, God told us to move to Durham, and we support a very new church in Durham. We're on the leadership team there with our very best friends, so it's a real blessing for us. I have two daughters, one of which is Joanna. She's our youngest at 22, and we have another daughter who's 25, still lives in Newcastle. And we have the most wonderful, gorgeous, glorious Sophia, who's our granddaughter. And just makes me smile. I have to just think of her name and it makes me smile. She's just beautiful. So she's coming up one. So we've had a very exciting year with Becky and Eddie. And they're about to move house, to get into a house instead of a flat. So we've had a very fun year, haven't we, with Sophia? I'm a teaching assistant in a primary school. I work in a little Catholic primary school in one of the villages in County Durham, part-time, so that keeps me very busy, to do lots of literacy and numeracy work there. And I love that. I've always loved working with children. Even when my two were little, I was a childminder, and I've always been busy in the church, you know, in Sunday school and creche and running toddler groups. And so, you know, children have been part of my life, really, since I was a teenager, really. What else might you need to know? I don't know. I was brought up in a big church in Newcastle that used to be called Beth Shan. It'll be familiar to some people. And so I feel like I've always known God, and I love that. I love that I can never remember a time before God was in my life. I always knew God, even as a child, before I really understood what it meant to know God and have a relationship with God. God was still always there. He was my friend. Jesus was my friend. So I love that, that that's part of the history of my life, that God has always been in my life. And I count that a real privilege, really, to have always had that. So when I was thinking about what to talk about this morning, I was thinking about in the night. God, I often wake up in the night these days, nights, and often spend my time praying for everybody who comes into my head. People that I've not seen for years, sometimes, God, they just come into my mind and I pray for them. Anyway, I was mulling on this in November or December, and I just felt God saying, talk about the power of words. I want you to talk about the power of words, because words are all around us. We fill our days with words, don't we? And certainly at school, sometimes I go home, I just think, oh, just like to not speak for 5 minutes. Because it's just absolutely constant, you know, when I'm at school with children. And we hear them every day, we say them every day, we read them every day. We can't escape words. And even this morning, you know, there's been a really good babble of words that has hardly been a pause for breath, I think, probably on some tables. And words are so important, and they are how we connect with one another, aren't they? They are how we learn to understand each other, and we learn to love each other, and we learn information about each other, and we learn in school, and we learn about what the world thinks, and what, you know, they're so important. And I was looking at some research a couple of weeks ago, and it says women speak about 20,000 words a day, about 13,000 more than the average man. Thought, yeah, that'd be about right. And as women, I think it just comes so natural to us, doesn't it, to talk? We're just so good at talking. I know sometimes if my husband rings somebody and he has a quick conversation with them and then he's off the phone, I'm like, all right, I've got that sorted. And I was like, all right, so how's so-and-so? What's happening there? Oh, I don't know, I didn't ask. But if I ring my friend to ask her a question, we'll be on the phone for half an hour because I want to know what else is going on in our life and not just, well, what's the job? What's the answer to this question? And I think a lot of men do the whole, you know, communications for a purpose. And it's, well, I need to know this information, so I'm going to ask that information. All right, see you, bye. So I know when we first got married, we've been married for nearly 31 years now, and when we first got married, we hadn't really cracked this whole communication, the difference between men and women. And so he would come in from work, and he would say to me, so how's your day been? So I would give him the minutiae of my day, like blow by blow, the complete day. And I could just see him glazing over after a little while. And then I would ask him the same question, and he would say, yeah, it was all right. What happened for tea then? And I'd be like, Well, yeah, was it all right? Was it busy? Yeah, it was quite busy. So what were doing later? Why was it busy? Were you busy with customers? Runs a carpet shop in North Tyneside. Was it busy with customers? Has the fitting been busy today? Did you have lots of reps in? And I was like bombarding with questions because I just wanted to know some communication from him. I wanted to know how his day had been. So over the years, we've learned that when I ask a question, he needs to give me a little more. And when he asks a question, I need to give him a little less. A little fewer words goes a long way sometimes. But if we look around, in coffee shops, probably most of the time they'd be full of women meeting with their friends, having a good chatter. There aren't many men that meet up for coffee these days, I've noticed. And we are pretty good at using our words as women. We use them to communicate our thoughts, feelings and ideas and instructions. We use them lightly, don't we? We have fun together. We have a laugh. We make a good joke but we also use them to express the deepest things in our hearts. So words are so important in our everyday life, just all of the time, they're so important. When I was thinking about this, it really struck me that there are three really, really important ways in which words can impact our lives, and that we need to consider how we use our words, the kind of words we have, we say to others, how we say those words, and the kind of things that we hear, words that people say to us, and how they impact us. And I know those three things have really had a big impact on my life. And so I just want to tell you a little bit about my story growing up and some of the things that have impacted me, and hope that that might help us all to just consider a little bit how we use our words. So the first thing is how we speak. The attitude that we have when we talk to others influences the atmosphere around us. And I'm sure we can all think of people who are so negative and just can't think of anything positive to say. They're constantly complaining. Nothing's ever good. And, this happened. Oh, and isn't the weather good? Oh, and of course that's typical. And I can think of people like that. And actually, when we're around one another, if we speak like that, what that does is it pulls our mood down. It can actually pull us down emotionally and mentally, and it can make us feel very drained, because negativity and complaining and criticism really affects the atmosphere. So I work in this lovely little primary school in one of the villages in Durham, and it's a very small school. There's only 4 classes in the school. And it's a faith school. And so when I went there, I'd gone from a bigger primary school in North Tyneside, and I was like, oh, great, it's going to be so different. This is a faith school. It's going to be so uplifting, so encouraging. And it's really not. It's really, really a hard school to work in, because these days in school, it's probably the same in all schools, but there is so much pressure around to perform. And head teachers are under so much pressure to be, to get outstanding, to stay outstanding, that actually then the pressure just begins to tear down through the school, and all of the staff feel so much pressure all the time to do everything right, to be on top of everything, and then that gets passed down to the children. That's not good enough. You need to work harder. And that, I find that a real struggle, because that's not how I have ever behaved with children. That needs to be better. You haven't worked hard enough. But I'm surrounded by this atmosphere of negativity and criticism and just heaviness, And I have to make a choice every day to not get involved in that, to really resist that kind of atmosphere, and to speak differently to these children. These children, I think when you work with children for a long time, sometimes people just, you forget actually these are precious gifts into somebody's life. Sometimes I would hear people talk and I would think, I wouldn't want anybody speaking to my child like that. I would remember back when these were in primary school and think, it would break my heart if I thought some of the staff in their school had spoken to them in such a condemning way, in such a negative way. And so I'd make it my decision and my choice every day to think, okay, How can I encourage them to work harder? Because sometimes they just do. How can I discipline them? Because sometimes they jolly well need to discipline. But without bringing that heaviness, without bringing a sense of condemnation and criticism and negativity in them. But actually being someone who speaks hope and encouragement. So sometimes if I've had a tough day with some children one day, and I go into the lesson the next morning with them and say, right, okay, yesterday was not a great lesson for us, was it, boys and girls? Today you are going to show me your very best work, aren't you? And they'll all go, yeah, Mrs. Luke, yeah. And it's, you know, I've said the same thing as, yesterday you did not work very well and I want to see better from you today, which is how some people are with the children. And so it's saying the same message, but in a very, very different way of, like, you know, drawing out of them the goodness and the best that they can do, rather than just condemning them for the things that they haven't done. So I think it's a challenge for us to speak well. It's, you know, particularly these days, there is a lot of negativity around. There's a lot of criticism, you know, for governments and councils and, you know, decisions that are made that impact our everyday lives. And, you know, let's make the choice to be women actually who speak well, who be women who other people want to be around because they feel better when we're around. Not because, you know, we're up there all, or everything's all wonderful and there's never any problem and I never feel sad and I feel great about myself. Well, that's not reality, is it? We all struggle. We all have difficult challenges every day. But we don't all need to live with criticism and negativity all of the time. And I think it's a choice we can make. It's something that I've had to learn to do. And it's not easy. And I pray every day, literally every morning as I drive to school, I pray and ask God to help me be different in that school, to bring a different atmosphere, to bring an atmosphere of hope and compassion and helping, helpfulness to the staff as well as to the children, because I want to bring a positive influence and a positive attitude in that place. And that's something we can all do, whoever we are, however old or young we are, whatever our sphere of influence is, whoever we mix with, we can be women who bring something good to those places, who speak well. And even when everybody's speaking negatively and complaining about the head, I kind of make it my mission to say something positive. Sometimes it's really hard because they're actually quite right in what they're saying. Because, you know, sometimes we do get a bit of pressure from our bosses. But I just will not join in with negativity and criticism and complaining, because that's just not good. And I wouldn't like to think that people were speaking about me like that. And if they do, well, they do. And I can't do much about that. But it's a choice that I make daily. And I need God's help daily to be someone who speaks good and who brings a good atmosphere. So that's one of the first things that really impacted me, was how we speak influences the atmosphere around us and impacts on the people that we're speaking to. So the second thing is what we speak. And I found this really important quote, and it says, a careless word can shape or misshape someone's reality for years to come. I'm sure I'm not talking to women who've never had a harsh word spoken to them or who've never experienced something cruel in their lives. We have all had tough words spoken to us, I'm sure. And research has shown that it takes 5 positive words to outweigh 1 negative word. And certainly as a teaching assistant, I'm very aware of how important it is to be careful of how I speak, because I can remember in primary school or in high school some of the things that were said to me. Certainly my sister, I can remember one instance. My sister and I are very different. There's only 11 months between us, but we're like chalk and cheese, really. And she's always been very forthright and speaks before she thinks, when we were kids particularly. And that was quite hard to live with sometimes, because some of that was directed at me. But I can remember when we were in high school, and she messed around. She just wasn't really that bothered about school. And I was quite studious and behaved quite well, because I enjoyed school. And one teacher, and she still talks about it now, my sister, she's 48. And one teacher said to her, "You are useless. You will amount to nothing." I mean, what a thing to say to a child in their teenage year, or any child, or any of us at any time of our lives, to have that spoken. And she was really, really crushed by that, as you can imagine. But actually what it made her do was go the attitude of, I'll show you. I'll blooming well show you. And actually, she didn't do very well at school because she didn't like school. But she went to college and she did night classes and she became a legal executive and she did loads of exams and stuff. And she just did really well in her career. So it's a big responsibility what we say because of the impact that it can really have. And it can really turn people's lives one way or another. You know, we just need to think really carefully about the words that we use. And obviously, you know, we get angry, we get tired, we get frustrated, and we all say things that could suck back in. But we can't. We can't take back those words. And I've learned that, you know, when I say things that I shouldn't be saying, I know straight away there's a little niggling inside of me that says, oh, no, I've done it again. Oh. And I have to eat humble pie and I have to apologise because I can't live with myself if I know I've said something that's been hurtful or just a bit rash or whatever. So I've learned that actually I just need to apologise and restore the relationship as best I can, as quickly as I can. Thinking back over my life, I can remember lots of words spoken to me that really caused a lot of hurt in my life. Not necessarily from my parents or anything, but just in the school environment and in friendship groups. And, you know, even with my own siblings, you know, we didn't have the best relationships when we were growing up. And there were some very harsh and hurtful things said. And it wasn't really a time when people said lots of really encouraging words either. You know, when I was growing up, and I'm only 49, so it's not that long ago, then I can remember very clearly my parents didn't say I love you. They just didn't. We were in the church, you know, I'd been brought up in the church. I knew God loved me and I knew my mum and dad loved me, but they did not say that. They never said it when we were kids. And then when would it have been? I was probably about 11 or 12, late 70s, early 80s maybe. It was like somebody came and taught the adults in the church how important it is that we have strong families that say sorry and I love you and those kinds of things. And my dad started to say I love you, and my sister like, oh yeah, okay dad, yeah, because it was so embarrassing. We just didn't know how to handle the fact that our own dad was saying I love you or I'm really sorry I shouted at you, will you forgive me? And we just found that so difficult to handle because we hadn't had that since we were little. So my husband and I, we always made the decision when we got married that actually we were going to say that right from the beginning with our girls. And we still say it all the time, don't you? Don't we? We all say it all the time to each other. And I love that because that's very different from what I experienced as a child. And that lack of building up and encouragement and expressions like that meant that actually I became very, very insecure, and I just had no confidence at all. I mean, if I looked forward when I was 12 or 13 to today, I would be thinking absolutely impossible. There is no way I would ever speak in front of anybody. Just I couldn't do it. What have I got to say in the first place? But I wouldn't have the confidence to stand up and do it. So I became just so lacking in confidence in myself and in any abilities that I might have. Didn't go out very much. Didn't really have many friends. I was frightened to try anything new. My sister was like, yeah, I'm out there. Out. She was out all the time. My brother was out all the time. Had loads of friends, got up to all sorts of scrapes, accidents and adventures. And I just stayed at home. I was frightened of what people might think of me because nobody'd really said, Michelle, come on, you can do this. Yeah, you're great. Oh, I love having you around. You're a good friend or you're good at this or whatever. And so I just became very, very kind of introverted and anxious and frightened all the time. What would people think of me? Just that was like always my first, I can't do that. What would people think? What would people think of me? And it all became about, you know, I just became very, very locked in and insecure and afraid. And then I met my wonderful husband when I was 16. I was very young. He was in the army then. And something about a man in uniform, isn't there? Well, it was for me anyway at that time. And he swept me off my feet. And he, right from the very beginning, just told me how much he loved me, how beautiful I was, how precious I was. And for 30 years of marriage, so I've known him now for 33 years, I've just had that all the time. Oh, Michelle, I'm so glad you're my wife. Thank you for marrying. Even yesterday he was saying that to me. And I just, and he has this thing of calling me Mary Poppins, you know, in the Mary Poppins film, and she takes out a measuring stick. Oh, Mary Poppins, practically perfect in every way. And so he calls me his Mary Poppins, which is a right load of nonsense because I'm really not practically perfect in every way. But in his eyes, I am. And, you know, look at where I am. I can do this today. I can smile. I can be confident. And I still make lots of mistakes. You know, I still need lots of encouragement. And I'm really not great at everything. But he keeps on saying that to me. And I asked him about it years ago. Why? He said, I don't know. He said, I just think you need to hear it. You need to hear it. And we all need to hear that we are loved. We all need to hear that we are special, that we are appreciated. That we are valued, that actually we're good at something as well. Even if it's just that one thing that, you know, somebody spots it. Oh, you're really good at that. It can, you know, you just see, if I see it in the children sometimes, you just see them just sitting up straight, Erin, with a smile on their face, and they're just so proud of themselves. And I love to be able to just spot children doing something really well, or spot one of the older ones doing something good in the corridor, like helping or holding a door or standing back to even let a member of staff through, and appreciating that and telling them, because actually a lot of children now don't get that appreciation. They don't get that building of confidence. So him saying that to me has made a massive difference to me. I am so different now to what I was when we first met. I enjoy life. I love my life. I love being a mum. I just adore being a grandma. Although it's a very weird thing, you know, to get into my head that I was a grandma last year. I found that really difficult. Kind of get that image, because grandma was my mum, really. My girls call my mum grandma. And when Rebecca used to say to Sophia, oh, here's grandma, I'd look around to see where my mum was. Oh, no, you mean me. Sorry. So it's really made me a big difference, my husband speaking to me like that. And I went to college, did my teaching assistance qualifications when the girls were in high school. I've travelled, done all sorts of things, because his positive words have changed the way I think about myself. They've changed the way I see myself, and they've changed how I live. And so, again, let's choose to be women who make a difference in somebody else's life. You know, I know the value of what that's done in me, the confidence and the courage that it's given me, because I know he loves me and he appreciates me and keeps telling me that. And I know that how great a value that is. So I want to be someone like that. I want to be someone whose words are helpful and encouraging and actually could build confidence into somebody else and give somebody else the hope, the glimmer of hope that they could dare to do something, they could be changed. So let's choose to be women who speak positive, helpful, encouraging words to others. And then last of all, what we hear, as I've just said, has a massive impact on our lives, on our self-esteem, our confidence, our emotions. Even our physical and mental health can be affected by the things that are said to us regularly. There's a verse in Proverbs that says something about a nagging wife is like a dripping tap, you know, just gets on your nerves. And so, you know, I don't want to be a nagging wife to my husband. I don't want to get on his nerves. But, you know, we need to understand that what we hear goes in and it stays in. And when we were kids, I'd love to find the origin of this. We used to say the silly rhyme, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never harm me. Well, what a load of rubbish. Why have we ever learned to say that or teach our kids that words really do harm us? They really do hurt us in our emotions, in our confidence, in our self-esteem, in our thinking of what we might be able to do. All of these things can have a massive impact on us. So we need actually to be careful what we listen to, because the world out there, the media, And everybody will tell us we need to look perfectly, we need to have the best jobs, we need to have the best behaved children, we need to drive the best car, we need to live in a good house, all of the, we need to have great holidays to have a good life. Unreal expectations have a massive impact on our lives. And, you know, words can do such a great deal of harm that we need to be careful what voices we listen to. You know, even if, you know, if something like, I used to like to watch Escape to the Country because I just love, I mean, you know, I just love looking at houses and, wow, it'd be nice to live there. But then you soon go down the mental thought of, oh, wish I lived in a house like that. Oh, it must be nice to have money like that. And I really had to stop myself from getting down this little trail of dissatisfaction with my own life or with my own house or where we lived. Just because I was watching that and the message was, yeah, this is what you should aspire to. If you had this kind of money, you could live in a house like this. And so we need to be really careful and understand ourselves, I think, and really watch ourselves for the traps that we fall into, of the lies that are fed to us in society, to particularly today, that we've got to have a certain thing or, you know, our family's got to look like this or whatever to be successful. Or to be someone of importance or whatever, because that is not the truth. And I'm going to go and show some things from what the Bible says in a minute. And being a Christian, knowing God in my life, has had such a massive impact on me. As I've learned about who God is, as I've grown up as a child, knowing that God was always there, but then as a teenager, realizing that actually I could know Jesus every day. I could talk to Jesus. Jesus could help me. Jesus wants to help me. Jesus loves me. And understanding who God is and how he thinks about me, what he says about me in the Bible, what he says about every single one of us, had such a dramatic change impact in me, even more than the words of my wonderful husband, I have to say. And even that was great. But what I've learned from God, what the Bible tells me about how much God loves me, how he accepts me just as I am, whether I do anything or whether I do nothing, whether I speak or whether I don't, whatever, he just loves me just as I am. Just loves me. And it's just like, you know, and it's a revelation that it's something that just every day I wake up and I think, wow, Lord, thank you. You love me. You know me. You know the good, the bad, and the downright ugly of me. The bits that I wouldn't want anybody else to know or see or understand. But he loves me just as I am. And that knowledge has really given me a sense of wholeness and brought me to a place of self-acceptance, actually, and confidence that I never knew was possible. I never, ever thought I would feel this secure in somebody's love. And I know I've got a great husband and I've got a loving family, but even they'll go at some point. They won't be with me forever. And even they'll disappoint me and they'll let me down. And there'll be times when I don't feel loved and appreciated by them. But God will never leave me. I will never feel unloved and unappreciated by God. And when I was thinking about myself years ago, I could have sang that, you know, the ABBA song, I'm nothing special, in fact, I'm a bit of a bore. Because that's how I used to think about myself. I'm nothing special. I'm nobody. Nobody wants to see me or hear me. But because of what God has shown me about his love, I can sing this one. I am what I am, and what I am needs no excuses. And I can just be who I am. I don't have to try to be somebody else. I don't have to try and impress other people. I don't have to worry about what people think. So I'm sorry, ladies, if you don't like me, well, I'm really not that bothered. No, of course I am. But, you know, it doesn't stop me anymore. I don't always think, oh, but what will people think? What will people think of me? Because actually knowing that God loves me makes me able to stand here and say I am what I am, and I'm glad I am what I am. I love being who I am, and there's lots of things I would like to change. You know, I'd like to lose a stone in weight, and I wish I was a bit taller, and all sorts of things like that. But inside of me, I am at peace with myself because God loves me. And I would love for every single one of us to know that sense of security. Somebody once said to me, what's so great about being a Christian, about knowing God? And I said, because I am secure. I feel safe. I feel loved. I feel just I am God's child. And that has totally transformed my life, has changed how I think about myself, has changed what I do, how I view other people, how I love other people. Because I'm loved, because God has forgiven me, I can forgive others. It's not always easy, but I've been forgiven lots of stuff. So what right do I have to not forgive somebody who does something to me? Because the love of God changes my life, changes our lives every day. So the Bible has loads. There are loads and loads of words from the Bible I could have picked out to help us understand. But because the Bible has a lot to say about helping us to be people, women who speak good things. In Proverbs it says, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Wow, powerful. And then in Ephesians it says, watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps, each word a gift. And isn't that amazing that we can do that? We can make our words gifts into people's lives. We can tell people, I really appreciate you as my friend. Or I love it when you're like that. I love that bit. I love that sense of humor. I love that twinkle in your eye. Whatever, you know. Let's be women who make words gifts into other people's lives. So today, ladies, I want to encourage us all to choose to be women who speak wisely, who speak carefully, thoughtfully, who use our words to bless others and not to curse them, to encourage others and not to destroy them. Because I've been on both sides of that, and I know which is the best way. So I want to end by just reading out a few words from the Bible that have really been important to me and really speak to my life, and I think to your lives, hopefully, about God, about how God uses his words, about what God says to us and about us. Fear not, for I am with you. Oh, I'm really going to try not to cry, but I find this really hard sometimes. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my right hand. And you know, when I read that, I can see myself as a little girl. God's like my daddy, and he's holding my hand through some of the toughest, the darkest, the most scary places. He has always held my hand. And he's not just saying it to me. Whatever is in the Bible is for everyone. It's not just for me. So these words are for every single one of us. So whenever you are in a dark place, whenever you're in a scary place, just remember the promise of God's word is, I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you, I am with you, I will hold you by my right hand. Psalm says, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. And I've certainly experienced that. And I think that's the way I want to live my life. I want to be gracious and compassionate towards others. I want to be slow to anger and rich in love. And it's something I pray for every day, particularly as I go into school. So I'm just going to read a little passage from Psalm 139. And this is all about how God knows everything about us and sees us and loves us. O Lord, you have examined my heart and you know everything about me. You know when I sit or stand. When far away, you know my every thought. You chart the path ahead of me and tell me where to stop and rest. Every moment you know where I am. You know what I'm going to say, before I even say it. You both precede me and follow me. And you place your hand of blessing on my head. This is too glorious, too wonderful to believe. I can never be lost to your spirit. I can never get away from God. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the place of the dead, you are there. If I ride the morning winds to the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me. Your strength will support me. If I try to hide in the darkness, the night becomes light around me, for even darkness cannot hide from God. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are both alike to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit them together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. It's amazing to think about. And this is a hard bit to say when you look in the mirror sometimes. Your workmanship is wonderful. It's marvelous, and how well I know it. You were there while I was being formed in utter seclusion. You saw me before I was born and scheduled every day of my life before I even began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book. How precious it is, Lord, to realize that you are thinking about me constantly. I can't even count how many times a day your thoughts turn toward me. And when I wake in the morning, you are still thinking of me. Isn't that amazing? I'm just going to read that last passage out, that last little bit. Can we just close our eyes? And in this little paragraph, you are the me. So when I say, how precious it is, Lord, to realize that you are thinking about me constantly, God is thinking about every single one of us constantly. We can't even count how many times a day your thoughts turn towards us. And when we awake in the morning, you are still thinking of us. Father God, I want to thank you that the words that come from you are words of love, of care, of patience, of forgiveness. And they are words of acceptance to us. Thank you that you love us just because you made us. We don't have to do anything or be anything special. We just have to exist, and you can't help but love us. Father, thank you for the importance of your words to our lives. Lord, I pray you'd help us to think more carefully about the importance of our words into others' lives too. Thank you for this time together, and I pray that your words of your love would stay with us today and for many days to come. Lord, even when we awake tomorrow, we'd remember that you are thinking of us. Amen.
That was wonderful. Thank you. I feel truly loved. Yeah. Isn't it fantastic to know that, you know, even if you're on your own, or, you know, if you've been disappointed by friends or relatives or whatever, God's always there, and he has this amazing love for us. It's just absolutely awesome. And if you don't know that God, it's just so easy to know him, because he's there. And he knows you inside out. He knows me inside out. But that love can never fail, never stop. And it was just wonderful to hear from Michelle all about that, and how what God's done in her life, and how she feels about God, and how he feels about her. And if you feel as though you want to know him more, then have somebody pray with you today. He's there. He's just waiting for you to reach out. He's already reaching out to you. And I'm sure Michelle and Joanna are going to be hanging around, and they'll pray with you. And there's lots of other people. All the ladies on this table, at least, would pray with you this morning if you would like prayer. and, you know, whoever you came with this morning, whether it's because you want to know Jesus or because you need to just have reassurance that he is there and he loves you no matter what, then, you know, why not pray together? It's a great thing to do.